Hello, everyone. We are your hosts, Susan and Jill. We are longtime educators who are here to share with you all things education. We want to inspire you, help you innovate, dream new visions, and best of all, make you laugh. The education field is not an easy one, but we do it because we love kids and we want the very best for them. Join us as we laugh, learn, and get schooled with Kale Education and Company. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Kale Education Companies Get Schooled. Susie's back. I called you out yesterday.
Wow.
We showed your blank seat. You said you were coming over.
Do you really want to bring
you
this
bailed.
Up?
You bailed on me.
Tell the people why.
You had a hair appointment.
No, yeah. That's true, too. but tell them why I was...
Are we talking about the previous episodes?
Double booked. Why do you blame me for being double booked?
Well, wait. Are we talking about the 10 o'clock?
Any of them. Any of my
You don't
absences.
Put anything on your calendar?
That is inaccurate.
It's not inaccurate.
I'm going to pause on that. That would be inaccurate, Jill. I do put things on my calendar when they come in like consistent modes of communication.
Oh, wait. I know where she's going.
Like a text message.
Oh, okay.
Do you text?
Hey, Abby. Hang on.
I do.
No, that's great. And Abby, do you send emails?
I do.
With important information in both those two things?
Yes.
Period. Okay. What do you need me to communicate in now?
I'm going to need Blake to step in to this one. She is upset because I sent her the reminder in Slack.
And you know what? Everybody out there driving in their car, like they're like this, Abby. Look
you
at Abby's face. Look at her eyeballs.
Oh, dear.
Abby's right. No one's, they're all out there going, what is Slack? Like, who cares? Right. Right. And baby Blake over here, who's like,
he's a quarter of a century.
Half my age says, but you can send documents and such.
Yes.
Well, you can do that through email.
You don't read email. Are you acting like you read email?
I do read email. Not all five. I mean, there's a hierarchy to my email.
You don't read all email. But
no, I read. three.
I was like, you walked into that.
My email account limit is three. Isn't that, that's appropriate. Come on.
Three what? Three in your inbox?
No.
I don't know what three means.
We're going to break up for a second. Three accounts. I can keep up with three accounts. I read
you
those
You only have
three.
No,
I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I have. No, Jill,
you've
got
me signed
up.
Well, you might have your fourth one's
and,
a personal one.
And no.
Yeah.
Okay, the personal one, like it matters because all like my other children's school stuff goes there. Like you say, like you make it sound like I'm internet shopping on that one only. Nope. I count that on having to keep up with Jill.
Okay, four. You have four.
We're gonna.
So here's the difference, Abby. Oh, Slack will allow you to put a group together. You can easily find that group. You don't have to like scroll through all the conversations because it's all work.
Abby.
So it's not the fun stuff you also talk about on the side, which then creates this scrolling because you have to find the conversation. It's all in like little files. Like this is our podcast conversation.
Okay, Abby,
channels.
I have a question. When you get on your cell phone and you go to your text, do you have those groups up there like that?
It's not the same. What? Because we intermix work and fun on that. I don't talk about anything fun on Slack. It's strictly work.
Okay, well, here's what we need to do. We need to do a group text.
That's just work?
Work. And then the same people can be on the group text that says fun.
You know what that's called? Slack.
Oh!
It's called Slack.
Can it sync? Can Slack sync?
I don't know. That's a big question.
See, she doesn't really know.
It has the calendar in there. It's all very incorporated. Now, I was not a true believer at first, but it's a good
it
little
out,
thing.
Like half a day, Jill.
Well, because I tried.
Abby. So here's the deal. Like on a good day, I don't multitask well, right? Now, the fact of the matter is all these educators just heard me say that and they're all thinking, well, how can you educate? No, come to find out. There's a research article that I showed you. And what does it say, Jill?
That no one can multitask. No one except Jill can multitask.
No, it says multitasking is really a flawed way of thinking is what it says. Because really your mind's only doing one
I don't know
thing
how many times I've rolled my eyes during this conversation, but it's been a couple.
Yeah, that's why we're on a break, Jill. Enough with those eyeballs. Anyway, I mean, all this to say, Abby, I mean, for her to give me 3 or 4 emails that I'm supposed to keep track of dates, plus text messages that dates come in, plus, and we have 2 or 3 groups we're both in on that, plus Slack, I'm just saying, Mama's going to drop the ball once or twice.
And so yesterday was a ball drop.
Yesterday was the day.
I was like, what do you mean you have a hair appointment at 1 o'clock? We have a podcast at 1 o'clock.
And if you saw my funky hair before I went to that, you'd be like, she made the good choice. She made the good choice. Mm-hmm. I know you agree, Mama. My mom's out. She agrees. It was unattractive at best.
Same. Well, that wasn't even the funny story.
It wasn't even the funny story, but
that was just our opening. Hey, everybody.
Welcome. Well,
you're getting schooled with Suze. Okay. So tell me the funny story.
Okay. So a few years ago, probably more than I would like to admit, I was an administrator
at
a previous school.
Okay.
I was in for central office.
Yeah.
Principal. I was principal in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I had a pretty good rapport with my folks, my parents.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, you're there a while, you get to know the people,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And I loved the people.
Yeah.
And I had this one mom, and she came. And in fact, I think I told a story in like an early episode about the kid who liked to say the bad words, but he didn't know what the bad words were. Do you remember that story? And so then I had to say, well, this word, all those are bad. Like, you can't say any of them. Oh, okay. So this would be the mom of this kid, right? So she was a hoot kind of in and of herself,
right.
Okay? And so she would come in and she'd pick him up for appointments or this or that. So one day, Miss Michelle, let's say, shows up and she's at the front desk. And I see her, Miss Michelle, what's going on? And she said, oh, I got to get the kids for an appointment. Now, Miss Michelle has on like a see-through white shirt, some bright red bra that's half covering the tatas. You got to be careful because, you know, you don't know who's in the car with the parents listening right now. So the tatas. Anyhow. But there was a whole lot left out for the imagination is what you need to visualize. And then over the red bra and the white see-through t-shirt with the tatas visible was this zip-up hoodie. But it was unzipped down to about her belly button.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I said, Miss Michelle. And she said, yes, Miss Deakins, how are you? I said, well, I'm great. I said, where are you off to? She said, I got an appointment with the dentist. I said, what are you going to do about those? And she said, what, Miss Deakins? I said, well, see, the dentist is going to check out your teeth, not your girls right there. So let's zip those up. And I swear to you, I reached across the counter zipped her little jacket right on up. I said, now you look like you can go to the dentist. I'll get your children. Oh, Miss Deakins.
She just loved that one. Unzip it right
no,
back
she
down?
She did not. She said,
so
okay.
She walked out.
She, well, yeah, I mean, I'm
she's
not
like,
delusional.
No.
But I loved that story. She was
that's
just so
a
oh,
good
okay.
story. I can see you doing that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, gotta have some visualization.
That was good visualization. Maybe too
Thanks.
Much for Blake, but it was good.
Yeah,
for
Blake,
the
you
rest
okay,
of
honey? Okay, it's okay. Tatas, tatas.
Oh, it's this is why we need Suze with us. Like, right when the chair is empty, it's just not the same dynamic.
I'm finding that hard to believe.
So true. So true.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Now, all the vigor that you gave to telling that story.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I need you to stay. Uh-huh. Your mic cuts out. Cause sometimes when you get serious, you get quiet. You got to keep the Suze
Say that
voice
again.
On.
What? Sometimes you get quiet. I get quiet?
On this, apparently.
Who knew?
I've been reviewing a couple podcasts. I'm
Mama,
like, what?
Did you
what?
Hear that?
Susan, speak up.
Guess
they,
who's
they
here?
Can't
okay,
hear
but
all
I'm
your
super
wisdom.
Excited today.
Super excited.
I'm super excited.
Introducer.
Our friend goes back. Abby, our friend.
Yes. All the way to the conference.
All the way to the conference. Whoop. It was the most fantastic conference.
It was an amazing conference.
Okay, so introduce yourself.
Yes, because
and then I want to hear what you
why.
Thought
yes,
about the
because
conference.
Abby,
okay.
you're yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So okay. Miss Abby Huck.
So my name is yes. Abby Huck. I am a kindergarten teacher at a very rural, tiny district. We're a K-8 district, about
I
an hour outside districts. Of St. Louis.
Yes.
We've got 300 students all the way through, which is really wonderful, you know, perfect. Because we can really have a family within this public school.
Yeah.
So we went to the conference.
Yes.
Okay. So go back just a little bit. The reading specialist in our district and I, we have lunch together. And we really got excited about the science of reading together. Mm-hmm. So when we saw that this conference was coming, you know, the texts were flying. Like, we got to go. I mean, she was like in my classroom at 6:30 a.m. the day of registration with the school credit card ready to go.
Yep.
And she was like going to register all of us, you know, and she's like, I can't,
I
can't, you have to register yourself.
You have to do it yourself. Shoot.
So, you know, so we were just very, very excited and we were really excited because, I mean, we were excited about the conference.
Sure, sure.
But we were really excited because Emily Hanford was coming.
I mean, that was
for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was beside myself that we were able to get Emily Hanford. I really was.
Emily Hanford is the reason that. Yes. I mean, my instruction has completely changed.
Oh, I know.
I will never forget. So I was a third grade teacher at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was taught to teach reading in the early 2000s.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I loved to read.
Oh, yeah. They would love to read.
And if I read to them, they would love to read.
Just immerse them.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Until I got those kids that weren't learning to read.
Yeah.
And I'm like pulling everything out of my back pocket and nothing is working. So like deep down, I knew. I also didn't know what to do. I didn't know how
to help
them.
That's the disconnect. Because, I mean.
What do I do?
Late 90s, maybe not early, but it was the same. I mean, the reading philosophy was the same. So when it doesn't work, what?
What am I supposed to
do? That's the disconnect,
I'm trying all of these things and I'm trying to conference with them and I'm trying daily five and I'm doing all this stuff and I still don't really know.
Yep.
And because, you know, like Facebook reads our minds.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Along comes this article, Hard Words,
by
Emily Hanford.
Yep.
And I will never forget, it was late at night. I'm on my couch. My feet are propped up. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably supposed to be getting something ready for school the next day.
Right.
Like I remember I was working on Google Slides, something. I was doing something. And then I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see this article. And I read it and I thought, are you kidding me? And I remember picking up my computer and moving to my dining room table because I needed to sit up straight to get this information.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I read it again. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that can't be right.
Yeah.
That's not. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to be one of those people. I'm going to check the sources.
I love it.
Very smart.
So I start going through those sources and I go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And by the end of that night, on my radar is Marianne Wolfe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is March of 2020.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I've read that article. I'm starting to read more about Marianne Wolfe. COVID hits.
Mm-hmm.
I suddenly have all this time at home
and
Audible credits that are piling up. So I do, I pull down Proust and the Squid.
Oh.
And I just remember I'm home alone with my husband and my four children.
Right.
And I'm like, did you know? Did you know? We really don't care. But I started reading and I listened to her and the more I read, the more I knew I didn't know. And I started Googling and looking. I started watching YouTube videos. I joined a Science of Reading book study on Facebook. And at the time they were finishing up Speech to Print.
Oh, yeah. That's
very
dense.
I kind of looked at that and I was like, you guys are already halfway through. I don't think I'm there yet. The next book they did was Equip for Reading Success by Kilpatrick. Uh-huh. So I jumped in with that.
Yeah.
Followed them with Uncovering the Logic of English.
Yes.
So anyway, I just really I started reading more and more and they kept sharing more and more information. And I thought, you know, I really just don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out how to teach this and how to teach it.
Now let me ask you, at that time, and I know it's COVID, but are there other like-minded teachers
in your district? Or are you kind of, because that was a big theme that we get a lot, I think, away from the podcast and emails. And it was also a big theme, in my opinion, that came out of that conference. What do you do when you're the only one navigating? So just as a side question, were you the first? Were you kind of?
So there were two other teachers in the district, okay. Our librarian at the time and our reading specialist. Yeah. And we would share articles back and forth.
So the three of you were kind of learning.
So the three of us were really, you know, and all three of us are really readers. Our reading specialist is big on Facebook. She's on there all the time. So anything that would kind of come through there, I'm more of a Twitter junkie. Yeah. So I started following all these different people on Twitter that were starting to read all these different research articles. And like Shanahan is a big one that we would say, look what Shanahan's talking about with this. And I, like I said, I work in a wonderful district. Right. So when I went to my administration and I'm like, hey, they listened.
That's awesome.
And the other teachers were enthusiastic enough, I guess is the way to say it. Yeah. And the other teachers, when we say, hey, let's do this, they really listened to us.
That's great.
Meanwhile, while all of that was going on, I also, and like I said, at that time I was teaching third grade, which it was COVID. As a third grade class, we decided to do everything online. Every assignment was online. Because you never knew. Were you going to be there? Were you not?
Right.
So I get to the end of that year, and then I read Marianne Wolfe's Reader Come Home. That was like a knife to my heart. Because I'm like, what do you mean a book isn't the same as a computer? I just spent an entire year teaching on a computer.
When she wrote that, she didn't know anything about a pandemic.
She didn't.
You know?
She didn't.
So, but, I mean,
the research is there. That was very good. I mean,
You know,
I mean, the research is there.
It's so,
but and I think it's worth looking at.
Right. Well, and you knew. I mean, like, we all knew. It's just hard when you hear it from somebody that, you know, you're learning all this new great information from. And then just, it was so right in front of your face.
It was like all right there. That following summer, I ended up in Pathways to Reading training. Yeah. It's a curriculum.
Yeah.
And I knew our spelling instruction third grade wasn't great.
Yeah.
And I knew the way that we were teaching it in third grade wasn't great. So I had told our district, hey, look, our third grade teachers need to get to this because some of those third graders still need these foundational skills. I put together a spelling curriculum for third grade based on Pathways skills for third grade.
That's awesome.
So while I was there, I reached out to the trainer. I'm like, hey, I've done this, yada, yada. She was looking to retire. So she comes to me and says, hey, are you interested in becoming a trainer for Pathways? Awesome. And I really was like, man, do I do this? And then I thought, you know, this is a really good tool for teachers. And this is a way I didn't have this tool.
Right.
I would have liked this tool.
Right.
So this is a way for me to put a tool in teachers' hands. I didn't realize when I agreed to that how much of a better teacher I would become.
That's the thing.
Because
training.
I was in that training.
And seeing so many different.
Absolutely.
It's the best PD you can do.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Hands down. A much better teacher.
Yeah.
I've since moved to kindergarten,
which
is I'm much happier in kindergarten. I like those littles.
I don't understand them, but I'm glad you're happy.
I like the littles,
I just want to cuddle and hug and smooch on them. That's it.
I think it's so fun to teach that age group because they're picking up all those foundational skills, which are my favorite to teach too. And they just absorb it. It's so fun to watch.
They are sponges, and they pick up on every little thing that you say and do, and they're just so happy to see you every single day. They're happy to see you.
That's so true.
So it's just, it's so a great age level to be at.
They're like Labrador retrievers.
They are.
When you said that, they're happy to see you every single day.
They just love life.
And it doesn't matter how much trouble they were in the day before. Yeah. They're still excited to see you the next day.
This might shock you. Yeah. But you know, I'm more of an upper elementary, middle school kind of gal.
You are. She takes that part of our job.
They're little sponges too. They just don't always absorb what we want them to.
Or they absorb something differently, or they choose to ignore
saying,
you.
Yes. I mean, yeah. You know, sponges in different ways, shall we say.
Yeah.
Carry on.
So, great. I mean, so that's really been my journey. Now I'm doing more PD within our own district and working with more teachers there. Yeah. Getting to go out into other districts with pathways, in, which is just always so helpful to see how other people are doing things. And what are you using that's working? What can I bring back in to our district? Or I see a teacher do something like, that was brilliant. Yep. Need to do that.
I know.
And need to remember it by the time I get back to my room.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the consultant job is a fun job. I mean, I love going out and working with buildings and teacher teams, but I feel like I selfishly always probably leave, you know, with more because I get to think about how they're doing it versus how someone else is doing it and then create something new because you can bring all those ideas together and then take it on to the next place, you know? So it is, before I was a principal, I consulted and I always say it made me a better principal because I got to see how principals ran their buildings. And so I got all this collective knowledge of ways that things that I would want to do and things that I might not want to do. And how to like mold yourself as a leader. And it's the same thing when you're working with teachers, you know, they have brilliant ideas about how to make things simpler, about how to make things more explicit for kids. And I really believe every time I go out, I pick something else up that I then carry forward to the next meeting. Or sometimes I'll be in the same place and I'll go back and I'll be like, hey, I know this is the way we've done it, but I was down the road and they're doing it this way. So let's adapt.
You know, it's kind of like, it's, you can liken it to like embedded professional development.
100%.
Like we're going to have you do
that is my professional development.
Like,
yes. Yeah.
But that's why it's so powerful. I mean, like, I don't know how much research we have to be
I know,
over the head with
to believe that.
But I think that's just, I mean, what you're saying is essentially it's also why that works.
Absolutely.
But yet it's so hard.
It's so hard.
And I think we can tell teachers, the research says this, the research says this. Right. But when they see it and experience it, or you witness another teacher
with
success.
What was the term? You said the research says. Research, you and I had a huge conversation about this. Research-based versus research.
Evidence-based
versus research-based. And the power of just thinking like that, because I do think, I mean, as an educator, whether a teacher or an administrator, building principal, you get inundated with the words, well, it's research-based. And so if you don't take the time to really understand what that means, then like you just feel like, well, I mean, I guess I have to do it because they say it's research-based. I guess I have to do it because they say it's research-based. Mm-hmm. But the number of times I heard evidence-based.
Well, evidence-based is hard to get.
That's,
you know?
Yeah.
And it costs a lot of money and takes a lot of time and all those things, you know.
But I also think
if you don't know what you're looking for.
That was a huge aha for me. And I was at the conference.
Yes. Yeah. Dr.
Huge.
Lane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She did a good job explaining that.
Yeah. Hattie's barometer. I mean, I don't think we talk about that enough.
No.
You know, because I'm not a statistician.
Right.
And
right.
Let me
nor
tell
do,
you,
do nor you want to be.
Want,
no,
right.
I don't
get all those numbers. So
either.
When somebody says, oh, it has a 0.4 whatever, I'm like, okay, that's in the pluses.
Right.
But then you look at Hattie's barometer and you're like, oh, well, that would have happened anyway, whether or not. Yeah. So I think that's something that's not talked about enough. Mm-hmm. And especially as we look at all these different curriculums and programs and models, you know, what is really the most effective?
Right. Yeah. And I think we have narrowed it down pretty well. You know, I think we know what works. I think where I see schools struggle is the part you said about, I read and I wanted to do it, but then you had to figure out how to implement it. The implementation piece is hard. Unless you have someone to kind of guide you that's been doing it for a little while, you spin your wheels. Or you buy programs that maybe you wouldn't have bought if you'd just talked to someone or, you know. So I think there's so much value in collaboration and figuring out what are some things that work well because we can't do it all. Because there are multiple programs that are really good.
Absolutely.
But you can't buy them all. You don't need Foundations and UFLY and, you know, phonics for reading.
If you don't know somebody you're collaborating with, exactly. And if you don't have maybe a real, or helping you support your implementation right. plan, how would you know that,
right.
I guess?
Right. You don't. And I change my mind all the time on, you know, based on how I see it implemented and how mm-hmm. I see it playing out. And I currently love YouFly. I think it's fantastic. I like it a lot. I think it's easy. I think it's not expensive. I think there's a lot of great resources that go along with it. There's good support for it.
And we're not the only practitioners we know that really like it.
Yeah,
like
for
it
sure,
always
right.
makes a difference, sure. I think, from my lens as a teacher
yeah.
and as an administrator right. still. Like, so there's those two different sets of lenses right. because of our school.
Right.
It always makes a huge difference to me when I hear other teachers say it's great and it's effective.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's right. you know, it's manageable and it's effective. Because right. it turns out like you can buy all these new materials, mm-hmm. but the minutes per day are the same. Yeah. I don't know if you knew that, Abby.
Let me
but
tell you.
You learned all these new things.
It's so
still,
hard.
It's still the it same is. Number of minutes.
It's so hard.
It is. And yeah. and I think teachers, you know, every teacher has so many things on their plate and they are getting pulled in so many different yes. directions, mm-hmm. not only within their career,
yeah.
but as an individual, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a sibling,
right.
You know, you have all these other things. They don't want to have to sit and figure it out.
Well, they can't, right? I mean, it's not even realistic, right?
Right.
And we were already asking so much of educators. And then to have to spend even more time learning something new or learning how, like, it's just not.
Well, and I would say in our field, too, and I don't know how you two, and I mean, I don't really want to get on a soapbox, but in our field, too, I think that we are so, we make things more complex because we are not united. Mm-hmm. As powers that be
yes.
are not united just into our, in terms of our yeah. conversation, I'm thinking about our conversation mm-hmm. right before this podcast started. Right. What we hear from the top down isn't even.
Yeah. It's not always very,
it's
well
not
aligned.
Even congruent.
yeah.
Right. And so we hear yeah. one thing, but they give us another thing.
Yeah.
So then you've got these educators that like you're describing are pulled every single direction, not yeah. just in the classroom, but in life. Mm-hmm. And the powers that be that are supposed to simplify the process for great academic success for all kiddos mm-hmm. can't even clean that up, right?
Right.
Sorry, Jill.
No, I mean, that's true. I think that's part of why we're seeing people leave our profession.
And,
you know?
And I think it's just so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Everything that a teacher has to be able to yeah. do extremely well.
Right.
It is unrealistic to think of one person to
yes.
be able to do because especially as we talk more about social emotional.
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking.
I am not a psychologist.
Yeah.
My,
but
my
you have
job
to be.
Is to teach you, but
right.
I can't teach you unless
right.
your mind is in a good spot.
Right.
And so I think that it's a really tough spot mm-hmm. we've put teachers mm-hmm. in with the expectations that we
right.
have.
Right.
And I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, we need to lower
right.
our
oh,
standards.
No.
You know,
no,
we
no.
need
yeah.
to hold them
hold
to a
the
higher standard. We
yeah.
need the rigor. We need to have mm-hmm. those expectations. Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
yeah.
we're having to be everything to every child.
All the time.
All the time.
Yep.
And that's exhausting.
Yeah. It really is.
And it's not feasible. I mean, I don't, I mean, people don't want to admit it, but the bottom line is, you heard it here first, folks, that's not feasible.
And it's really not.
It's why teachers are leaving
it
at an
in
alarming
droves.
Rate.
I know.
And, yeah.
It, especially when, and, I mean, I'm old. I look at these kids that are 22, 23 years old.
I know.
You know, they're just starting and we have all these expectations for them.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And that's a lot of pressure
I know.
To put on them.
I said that to her. So we're starting year three of our school. And the very first year, I mean, we were teaching all day and we'd been in admin for 10 plus years, 15 plus
years. For a minute.
So, I mean, yeah. So, you know, you get.
Just don't go counting.
You want to believe
Jill.
That you have remembered what it's like to be with children all day, but you quickly remember what mm-hmm. it's like to be with children all day. And there were many times where I was like, I was completely insane to think that
oh.
people could do this with 25 mm-hmm. kids in their room. Like
yep.
I have lost reality.
Yeah.
And I also looked at her and said, so if you and I are struggling, and at that time we had, I don't know, 15 kids mm-hmm. total between the two of us. And I said, if we are struggling with 15 kids per two adults, can you imagine the new teacher that just walked out and walked into what is today's world of education. Holy cow.
Because pre-COVID and that was the year post-COVID, out. Not the same.
Not the same.
Completely different.
It was the first year out of COVID. Mm-hmm. So they were back. Mm-hmm. And I, where we were, our kids were out the whole year. And so like pretty much, I guess not whole you completely, know, but it was pretty, yeah, pretty darn much. Near. And so they definitely didn't have it was a year and a half of unnormal. And so I really can't imagine. And I, in a lot of ways, I think we should be thankful we kept as many as we did. Because I can't imagine how difficult that year was for people who have full classrooms. 25 kindergartners? Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Well,
I actually called our CFO at our old district and I go, I need you to hear me say.
She sure did.
That was insane to ever talk about having 25 kindergartners in a classroom. Because and you should know that when you negotiate that, that's insane.
It's well, and because here's the thing, and you said, you know, and we had 15 kids and yeah, we're multi-age or whatever.
Yeah.
But if I'm a public school teacher listening to this right now, yeah, 25 and our 15 were on all different levels.
Right. So are theirs.
So are their 25. Right, yeah. I mean, like it's
you can't
ludicrous.
Feel like you're doing the job well. Mm-mm. When you have that much on you. And I was just like, I just wanted to like send apology letters to every teacher I've ever worked with. You're right. I'm sorry.
You're
I don't
right.
know what I was thinking.
You're right. Love Jill. I
tried to get you help. I didn't push hard enough. Love always, Jill. Like
it's really hard. And it really depends on your kids too, you know? I mean, especially as we look at more behavior issues and more trauma with, you know, kids coming in with that trauma.
I know.
I mean, you can have 15 kids that feels like 50
right
in your room
for
because
sure.
of what
for
they
sure.
need.
Parenting has changed. Parenting has changed a lot.
So much.
A lot. Oh, yeah.
So much.
A lot.
So it's just watching
it's a combination.
Watching all these things and just having someone who's trying to serve 300 kiddos in a district or in a building or what have you, that's a whole lot of adjusting and rethinking and replanning. And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's
exhausting. And I think it is so exhausting for teachers because teachers care.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
You know, you cannot find one teacher.
Right.
And they might project that they don't, but they do.
They do.
They would not want to end their profession.
I've got a story for you.
I mean, every once in a while.
Oh, ladies. Next time. It's fine, Blake. Next time. Okay. Yes, you're right. By and large, if you will.
Yes. They internalize it.
They do.
We internalize
They don't want to admit that they let kids go on to the next grade level not ready. I mean, I think most of us carry that, you know, and worry about that. I would say you're true. That's very true. So as a school for you guys in science of reading, where would you say you are as like an elementary?
As an elementary, we're making good progress.
That's good.
In our early years, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody is really on board.
That's great.
In our upper elementary, we have some newer teachers that are really receptive.
Yeah.
They just don't know it.
Yeah, sure.
One focus, we've got a big focus on writing instruction.
Oh, that's great.
Because that's a really, really hard thing.
It is.
And I kind of like at the beginning of last year, I said, you know, I don't really know what good kindergarten writing instruction looks like.
Right.
We were using units of study.
Okay. Yeah.
Which was
as a lot of people do.
A lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And there are some things in there that are fantastic. But you know what I really need a kindergartner to do? Mm-hmm. Write a sentence.
Right. Right? With maybe a capital and some spaces.
I was going to say capital, punctuation, and some spaces.
It's not a big thing, but it's a really big
thing.
It's like really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And you know what they don't do? Mm-hmm. Figure it out by themselves.
No, they don't.
I love having.
No. They don't.
Turns out, that's a true story.
Turns out,
you can
have
make
to
them love the writing
them.
Center, but they might not know how to actually do it.
Exactly. So, you know, like we did a lot of research into what is good writing instruction. Yeah. And I boiled it down to kindergarten. They need handwriting, first of all. They're not going to write anything until they can actually
write.
Form
the letters, right.
Secondly, they need spelling. Yeah. Because if they don't know how to spell, they can't do that part either. So what am I doing in my classroom to make sure that they can physically write and that they can spell those sounds, whether it's accurate or not? Are they pulling down some sounds and letters and to make that very foundational sentence? And I say all the time, like, we just really need to go slow to go fast.
Right.
Oh, I know somebody else who says that.
Hmm. I say that every once in a while.
You know, like, let's let kindergarten, I don't need a story. Let's let kindergarten be handwriting, spelling, a very basic good sentence.
Yes.
And let's call that good kindergarten.
Right.
And be really, really, really good at those things.
Right.
And then move on.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am sure that with you there, they are going to do.
Thank you.
Big
what a
things.
Great district. What Thank a great
no
you,
kidding.
But
it
what
is
a great I mean,
district.
This is such great really things is. To hear. I mean, it's just great to hear success stories of places that just want to do amazing things.
For sure.
We're trying. Yeah. We're definitely trying.
Absolutely.
You're the best.
You are
I'm
the
so
best.
So glad
Thank
we
you. So you have to keep us updated on how you're doing.
I will.
Yeah. I mean, even if you call in and tell us, you know, we won't make you drive to Columbia every time, but we would love to follow your journey.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I
Thanks so much for coming and talking with
today.
Us today. We could talk all day.
Which is, oh, for
you
sure.
Know,
for
why
sure.
we have someone help us stay on track. But
I'm
anyway.
Sure nobody caught us all three go.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Blake. We have to have someone help us out. Or we just keep talking to you all day and then they turn it off because no one's listening.
Yeah, somebody.
I know. Mm-hmm. All right, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Abby. If people wanted to find you, if there was a teacher listening today and she thought, ooh, I could reach out to her and get some more information, how would they find you?
Shoot me an email.
Okay.
It's ahuck@sunrise-r9.org.
Awesome. All right.
Love it.
So hit her up if you need some implementation help with science of reading and pathways to reading. Sounds like they can
Absolutely.
Get that information
yes.
as well. And we will see you back soon. And everyone else, we'll see you for the next episode. Thanks so much.
Thank you.